This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. When Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein last appeared on our program in 2007, they had just published their book, Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar. They told jokes to illustrate philosophy. Here's Cathcart with one about the meaning of life.
A seeker has heard that the wisest guru in all of India lives atop India's highest mountain. So the seeker treks over hill and Delhi until he reaches the fabled mountain. It's incredibly steep, and more than once he slips and falls. By the time he reaches the top, he's full of cuts and bruises, but there's the guru, sitting cross-legged in front of his cave. "Oh, wise guru," the seeker says, "I have come to ask you what the secret of life is." "Ah, yes, the secret of life," the guru says. "The secret of life is a teacup." "A teacup? I came all the way up here to find the meaning of life, and you tell me it's a teacup?" The guru shrugs. "So maybe it isn't a teacup."
Thomas Cathcart, who has dropped out of various divinity schools, and Daniel Klein, who has written jokes for Flip Wilson and Lily Tomlin, have just published a new book, this time about the afterlife. It's called Heidegger and a Hippo, Walk Through Those Pearly Gates. Both former philosophy students are in our New York bureau. Welcome back, Thomas and Daniel.
Thanks, Leanne.
Great to be here.
So what is it that led you to explore death? Was it a natural offshoot of your Plato book?
Well, it sort of turns out that philosophy about death is sort of an intro to philosophy of life. All of these philosophers that we explore in the book actually took the point of view that you can't really look at life and the meaning of life without looking at the fact that it ends.
Yeah, if you lived for an eternity, there'd be a whole different set of questions and options for you. What we've noticed is that most of the philosophers of life and death come from Germany or Denmark, as in the case of Kierkegaard, France, as in the case of Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus. And there's nobody on the Riviera who's writing about this stuff.
In fact, a gold mine, it turns out, of jokes about death is Scandinavia, particularly the Olli and Lena jokes.
Sure. You have one, right? I know
you have one. So Olli dies. So Lena goes down to the Minneapolis Star to report it to the obituary writer. And the writer says, "Well, tell me what you want to say, Lena." And Lena says, "Oh, just say Olli died." And the writer says, "Well, gee, Lena, you know, you live together 50 years. You have children. You have grandchildren. Olli was very well loved in the community. Surely you must want to say something more than that. And if it's money you're worried about, don't worry. The first five words are free." So Lena says, "Oh, okay, put Olli died, boat for sale."
Well, Soren Kierkegaard, whom you call the melancholy Dane,
yes.
I mean, his attitude about death was go through with it, deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said face your mortality, and that will make your life, your real life, come out in relief. Then you'll really know what's at stake every minute of your life. So he was a philosopher of life and of seeking transcendence. He wasn't, you know, just dwelling on the fact that we're going to die, but he thought that's a necessary component.
I'm speaking with Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein about their new book, Heidegger and a Hippo, Walk Through Those Pearly Gates. Sigmund Freud named the fear of death one of the factors that drive humans to create and defend the illusion of gods and religion. And you refer to a father figure in the sky, and you nickname him Sky Daddy. this idea that, well, there must be something bigger than ourselves and something after this mortal coil. How do you treat Sigmund Freud and his view?
I try to treat him very tenderly. but one of the things that we realized in talking about Freud, that, you know, it's by group consciousness, it's by reinforcement of groups that we're able to sustain these religious delusions about immortal life.
Plato is someone who turns up in this book as well. He was the star of your first book, Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar. You call Plato the godfather of soul. And basically what we're talking about is the rise of dualism, the idea that one's mind or soul exists outside the body.
Plato was very much, he was sort of one of the initiators of that school of thought, that the soul is what animates the body. It's what gives rise to reason. Everything that isn't the body, he thought, was the soul. And he thought, actually, that that's the part that's immortal, that keeps on going after the body dies and disintegrates.
You take death in the afterlife, and you take a look at it from all different angles, you know, from what the older philosophers said, and even coming right up until, you know, the edge of the 21st century, because I have to ask, what is modern science, the ability to extend, improve, preserve, perhaps even duplicate life, added to the canon of philosophy about death?
Oh, it raises all kinds of... I mean, they even have a name for these guys. They're called bio-immortalists. And, you know, they're the guys who think they can freeze you until they find a cure for whatever did you in and then reanimate you or thaw you out. But the most interesting ones who are these guys who say they can download your entire nervous system and everything in it, every memory, every like and dislike, onto a computer chip and then replicate that and keep it around forever. So you would exist as a computer chip. The one thing they can't do is reverse aging.
Yeah. For Danny and me, we're 70 years old. You know, for us to become immortal, we'd be 70 forever. Because the one thing they haven't figured out how to do is sort of rewind the aging clock. You know, it's like the guy who was walking along in the woods and all of a sudden he sees a frog on the ground and the frog suddenly speaks to him.
This is an old guy, right?
An old guy. And the frog says, old man, if you pick me up and kiss me, I turn into a princess and we can make love all night long. So the old man bends down and picks him up, sticks him in his pocket, and continues walking. The frog says, hello, hello, old man. He says, I don't think you heard me. He said, you have to kiss me. Then I become a beautiful princess, and we make love all night. The old man says, no, I heard you, Froggy. It's just at my age, I'd rather have a talking frog.
So who wants to go out with the joke that's the title of your book, Thomas or Daniel?
Oh, Danny, take it away.
Heidegger and a hippo. Oh, by the way, this joke has a direct, actual quote from Heidegger in it. Heidegger and a hippo stroll up to the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, listen, we've only got room for one more today, so whoever of the two of you gives me the best answer to the question, what is the meaning of life, gets to come in. And Heidegger says, to think being itself explicitly requires disregarding being to the extent that it is only grounded and interpreted in terms of beings and for beings as their ground, as in all metaphysics. But before the hippo can grunt one word, St. Peter says to him, today's your lucky day, hippie.
Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein are co-authors of the new book, Heidegger and a Hippo, Walk Through Those Pearly Gates, and they joined us from our studios in New York. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks very much.